Now, boys and girls, if you sit up, I'll tell you something more about the two kingdoms, you remember, that the nation of Israel have become. First of all, there was just the one nation, but then after King Solomon died, God took away the greater part of the kingdom from Solomon's family, and he gave it to a servant of Solomon. Only a part of it was to go to one of Solomon's family, Solomon's own son. Now, you remember that son's name was Rehoboam, and he ruled the people down in the southern part of the land, and the other king was called Jeroboam, who had been Solomon's servant, and he ruled the people in the northern part of the land. Last time, you remember, we saw how Jeroboam was a very bad king, for this reason especially, because he turned the people away from worshipping the true God, and he made them worship idols instead. And we saw, of course, how he built those golden calves, and he told the children of Israel, these are really your gods that you're to worship them. Well, in the southern part of the land, things really weren't much better under Rehoboam, Solomon's son, because Rehoboam, he caused the people to worship idols as well. And when his son Abijah came to the throne, he was no better than his son, his father Rehoboam. In fact, nearly all of the kings that reigned, either in Judah in the south or Israel in the north, all of them were bad kings. Only one, Asa, was a good king, but even Asa, as he got a bit older, he began to fail too in serving the living God. And so all of those years went on, and things were very, very bad in the land of Israel, but worse was yet to come. And there eventually came to the throne of Israel, the people in the north, the worst king, probably the worst king of all. His name was Ahab, and he had a wife whose name was Jezebel, and if anything, she was even worse than her husband. She was an idol worshipper. She didn't serve the living and true God, and so between the two of them, Ahab and Jezebel, they turned the people to worship idols even more so than they had done before. Now, we're going to be speaking about Ahab and the things that happened during that time over the next few weeks. And here's what happened. One day, there appeared before King Ahab a very strange-looking figure indeed. He would have probably been a big, strong, tall man, but the Bible tells us that he wore a coat made of camel's hair that had been woven together to make this coat, so that it was a very, very rough, hairy kind of coat. He was a prophet, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, and his name was Elijah. And Elijah came and stood before King Ahab, and he said, King Ahab, he said, I have brought a word from the Lord from you. As the Lord lives, he says, there shall be no rain or no dew to water the ground in the land of Israel until I announce it from God. That's all he said. And as soon as he had said that, he turned on his heel and he walked out of the presence of King Ahab. What do you think Ahab did? Ahab didn't pay the least bit of attention. Like a lot of people who hear warnings from God about their life, he didn't pay any attention at all. And he just then turned away, and the thought of Elijah and the things that he had spoken from God just went right out of his head until the weeks began to pass and it didn't rain. And then the months began to pass and it still didn't rain. And then Ahab remembered that strange figure, Elijah, who had stood before him and the words that he had said. And so he sent out messengers all over the land of Israel to find this Elijah and to bring him back. You can imagine what Ahab was going to do once he got his hands on Elijah the prophet. However, God had known all that, known the heart of Ahab and the mind of Ahab. And so God had told Elijah to go and hide away in a deserted kind of place by a brook, by a little stream. It was called Cherith. And there was still water there, although it hadn't rained, because the water was still coming down from the hills. And so Ahab had water to drink to keep him alive. And also, God performed a miracle. Because every morning, ravens would come, those great big blackbirds, and they would come with pieces of food in their mouths, and they would drop the pieces of food at Elijah's feet. And so for all of that time, Elijah had food to eat, and he had water to drink. But
then, of course, as the rains kept away more and more and more, even the brook Cherith dried up. And so God said to Elijah, what you're to do now is you're to go to a city called Sarepta. And when you go to the city called Sarepta, there you'll find a widow woman. And that widow woman, woman who had no husband, her husband had died. And he said, that widow woman will take care of you, and she will look after you. So away he went to Sarepta. And just as he came to the gate of the city, there he saw this woman. And he knew for sure it was the woman that God had spoken about. And she was gathering up some of the last of the water that was left. And Elijah said to her, give me some water to drink. And just as she was getting the water for Elijah, and he said also, make me a cake. Now, he didn't mean something like we have with icing sugar and all of that. He meant really what we would call a scone, a piece of bread. Make me a scone of bread, in fact, he said. And the woman said, oh, I can't make you any bread at all. I have just a handful of flour in a barrel at home and a little drop of oil, what we would call butter today. And when I gather some sticks, I'm going home to make this one last piece of bread for me and my son, and then we'll surely die. And Elijah said, do what you have said, but, he said, make me a piece of bread first of all. You think that was selfish? Well, it wasn't. He says, because if you do that, then you'll see that God will be with you. And so the woman went and she made the piece of bread, and she discovered, in fact, that she had more than enough, not only to make for herself and her son, but for Elijah as well. And then day after day, the Bible tells us, boys and girls, every time she went to the barrel, there was still some flour left in the barrel. And every time she went to the container, there was still some oil left in the container. And day after day after day, God provided for the widow and for her son and for Elijah the prophet. And then one day, a very sad thing happened. Her son began to be sick. And in fact, as the days went on, the Bible tells us that the boy died. And the widow was distressed, very, very sad. And she came to Elijah. And Elijah took the boy up in his arms and he took him away into a room and he laid him on the bed and he prayed three times to God. And he said, Lord, work your works. And eventually the boy revived again and was brought back to life. And so God, you see, was keeping Elijah, performing his mighty works. For when the widow saw that, she said, now I know for sure that you are the man who is sent from God. Ahab still wasn't able to find Elijah. Soon Elijah is going to come back, boys and girls. And when he comes back into view again, my, there are going to be some things happening in the land of Israel. But for this time, you see, God has begun to work. God has sent his messenger. God has protected him and kept him. And then in God's appointed time, he is going to come and speak God's word to the people. All of that we'll see next time. But just remember then that God does promise to provide for us. And may we ever look to him. And above all things, of course, always remembering that he has provided the Savior for our souls in Jesus Christ, his Son.